Hi, this is Take Charge Your Health with Corrine Fornari, clinical nutritionist, clinician assistant, and Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Listen, learn, and I hope you enjoy the show. Bye.
Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corrine Fornari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information. We give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Welcome back. We're here for another special show. I'm with my co-host,
Carol Peterson.
And we're here to talk about something that the source of this show very often happens to be my practice. And so I heard a patient of mine spoke about the fact that her mother had fallen and broken her hip. So I said to myself, well, osteoporosis, and she has severe osteoporosis, so my patient is worried about osteoporosis. So how do we put together a program? But more than that, Carol and I have done multiple shows on osteoporosis, but I did a small show on the radio about osteoporosis. And I was inundated with phone calls and questions and what can I do and how do I do it. So I said to myself, I called Carol, I said, we need another show on osteoporosis because women are not getting the information they need to prevent it. We know that this is an epidemic. We know that 50% of people, of women, will end up with osteoporosis and a broken bone. We know that 25% of males, the same will happen. And we also know at this time and space how to prevent it. So today, that's what we're going to be speaking about. Prevention of osteoporosis and what we can do in our lives. We also know that from the time we're 35 to 40, we lose about 1% of bone a year. So that means with no other factors and everything perfect, we lose about 30 to 35% by the time we're 70. But then we have the other complicating factor of menopause. And women premenopause for about 2 to 3 years before their menopause is complete, and postmenopause for up to 4 years. Women can be losing 3 to 4% a year. So we're looking at 40 to 60% bone loss by the time we're 70 years old. So, Carol, welcome.
Oh, thank you.
Now, you think that's necessary?
Well, as we go on, I want to talk about some of the testing and some of the flaws there. But I'd like to point out there's some obvious symptoms of osteoporosis. And one of them is being long in the tooth. You've heard that expression before. Your gums actually are receding and more of your tooth is showing, but it actually has to do with the loss of bone under your gums there. So that's a blatant sign of osteoporosis. Then there's the fact that people shrink. Remember how people are saying you lose.
Oh, I used to
height?
Be taller.
Yes.
You hear that all the time. You hear it at the gym or when we used to go to the gym. But you hear it all the time. I used to be 5'6".
Yeah, now I'm 5'4". And where,
or 2.
Where did that height go? That's your bony structure holding you up. So it's actually receding. And then I would like to also introduce the idea of something that's really prevalent, and it's called sarcopenia. And it really means that as you're aging, you are losing your mass, both the bone mass and the muscle mass, everything that holds you together. So picture in your mind those relatives of yours and friends of yours who are aging and shrinking in front of your eyes. They're not only losing bone, seriously, they're losing their muscle tone as well. So this all ties into the same picture. Osteoporosis is a symptom, maybe not just a disease. We shouldn't call it a disease. It is a symptom of the inability to maintain your bony structure.
It also can be described as a symptom of mineral deficiency.
Yes, excellent.
Because what we're finding, there are 13 main minerals that our bodies are deficient in that is aggravating this bone loss. Plus, we also have to include vitamin D and vitamin K and hormones. So it's a deficiency syndrome. But you also stated, I want to add to that, you know, when we see very deep bags under the eyes, and it almost looks like our eyes have sunken in.
Right. What?
Yes, and we see jowls on our cheeks where our skin is hanging down below our mandible, the maxillary, bone, mm-hmm. and it's hanging there. What is that? Our skeleton has shrunk somewhat,
mm-hmm.
and yes. our facial bones have shrunk, and our skin hasn't. And so what you're really seeing is hanging skin over a smaller facial skeleton. And that's another one, our way of visually recognizing osteoporosis, osteopenia. You know, the word osteo means bone.
Mm-hmm.
Porosis means porous. So it really is, it's a bone that is porous. Now, we all know, well, if you've got osteoporosis, take more calcium. And for many years, that's all they did was they gave calcium. When that really wasn't working, they kept on giving higher and higher doses, and it ceased to work. Then they started adding vitamin D, so you'd have vitamin D and calcium. So vitamin D helped the calcium become absorbed, but it wasn't getting into the bone.
It was going all over.
It was going everywhere. It was going into soft tissue. It was going into our blood vessels and creating firm, stiff arteries and veins. And so
bone spurs all over your feet.
Exactly. So what we did was we had to look at it more closely. You know, there was a study, and remember I said 13 different minerals? There was a mm-hmm. study where they took goats and they deprived them of vanadium. Who thinks of vanadium when we think of yeah. bones? Nobody.
Nobody.
So when, not me either. So when we deprived them of vanadium and they had their offsprings, what happened? Their bone formation was totally irregular. They couldn't walk. They had deformed skeletons. So it's not only one mineral. It's a symphony of minerals that come together to create strong bones around a protein matrix. And what makes that stiff is the calcium. The calcium is the stiffening agent, but it doesn't go to the bone unless it's directed. And it's directed by multiple things. It's directed by vitamin K.
And right, and we often, older people are being taught to avoid vitamin K because that's the way the blood thinner Coumadin or warfarin works, by blocking vitamin K. So on top of everything else, that's a disaster for your bones. You're trying to use a drug to help you at one thing, and it's creating a whole another disaster for you as far as your bones.
So we've introduced the bad news. Let's go into the good news. Cheer up. It gets better. The good news is that what we have found with correct mineral balance, and then we're going to even enhance that, and Carol will add to that, with correct mineral balance, with digestion of getting these minerals and nutrients and vitamins into you, we're seeing bone growth. We're seeing bone growth of 1.4% in the first study, going all the way up to 4% in a 7-year study. So this was in women who their average age was 60 years old. So that means some were up to 80, some were down to 50, but the average age was 60. And what they found was 4.2% increase in bone mass. Now, that's at a time when women should be losing about 3% a year. So not only did they increase their bone mass, they stopped the loss. So now we're looking at 14% difference from predicted values. And that's pretty darn exciting. And it's not only in certain people, it's in all of us. And we can all do it. And today we're going to give you the outline. Do you want to begin, Carol?
Well, I'd like to talk about magnesium for a minute, because we have this fixation on calcium. In fact, we have these ads that say, got milk, and you're supposed to drink milk for calcium, and we have people taking Tums and all sorts of calcium supplements, but you can't really use the calcium, won't get absorbed unless you have plenty of magnesium. And I was at a conference once, and it was so dramatic because we argue about how much magnesium in comparison to calcium do you need. Mm-hmm. And we talk about 1-to-1 mm-hmm. or 2-to-1 calcium to magnesium, all kinds of things. You look at the writers. Mm-hmm. So this particular doctor stood in front of about 200 people, and he said to the audience that you needed 4 times as much magnesium as calcium. And then I've never seen anything like it. It was a collective gasp from the whole audience of medical practitioners. They were astounded. So we've made too much concentration on calcium, 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 and magnesium is certainly vastly more needed. And without that magnesium, you're not even going to get the calcium into your bloodstream in the first place. So that's so essential. So we can talk about all the minerals. There are many trace mineral products on the market, and we need every single one of them. Like you brought up vanadium. Who heard of that? Your body, none of your
organs body did.
in your body are made up of one thing. I think we have something like 92 or something like that, totally. So whereas we may be saying this amount is key, all these are essential. So one of the things about minerals is every metabolic process in our body requires 2 things to make that process work. One is a coenzyme and one is a cofactor. The coenzymes are vitamins.
B vitamins.
Metabolic process. Right. Every single vitamin is a coenzyme, but the cofactors, which have to be there to make anything work, are minerals. There are multiple minerals, but things like zinc and calcium and magnesium are some of the minerals that are used in a vast number of reactions. So metabolically, what we're doing, what we need to do is instead of tear down, we need to get into our body the raw materials to make everything available to us for the building up of our bone. Every night when we go to sleep, our body goes into this remodeling process where it's breaking down and building up. So when you get up in the morning, you've actually got a changed body. Your body's been busily working at remaking itself. So if you don't go to bed at night and sleep and you don't have the minerals and the coenzymes from your food to work with or from supplementation, you're in a bad situation. Those things simply are not going to be recreated. So you're constantly in a downhill position. So let's talk about rebuilding. One of my favorite topics is, of course, hormones, as you all know. And we've had vast experience with even restoring progesterone only makes a big difference. But we know at menopause, women tend to lose bone faster. So one of the things that there are in the cells of bones are osteoclasts and osteoblasts. Osteoclasts break down bone structure, and osteoblasts rebuild it. So you want to have this in balance, not that you want to get rid of one side or the other, because just as if you scratched yourself on your skin, your body's going to work to remodel and correct that. Everything in your body is in a constant flux of breakdown and rebuild new. And one of the big problems with the drugs that were being offered for osteoporosis is they like to work on the side that we're going to stop the breakdown of bone. And that's what estrogen can do. But you're stuck with, you're saving old bone. Weak bone.
You're building hard, weak, brittle bones.
I had a meeting once with a physical therapist years ago. I had my daughter with me, and he was explaining how your bones are flexible. And I had never really paid much attention or heard of this. He takes my daughter's arm and he bends it. And he says, "See how flexible your bone is? That's the way it's supposed to be." So we think of ourselves in this very rigid carcass. And conventional medicine would have us believe that we have to keep this rigidity, and that's entirely the wrong thing to do. Our bones need to be flexible. That's why when we're young, we can have big falls and things and not necessarily break something. But when we're old and our bones are not in this constant balance of building up and breaking down, our bones aren't flexible as they are when we are young, where we're building the wrong kind of bone, or we're not building bone at all.
So I always like, and I always default to balanced nutrients through food, because we're really not getting, through superfoods, we're really not getting adequate nutrients through the foods we eat to the degree that we need to maintain our bones. So I'm going to regress, and I'm going to say, when should we start thinking about avoiding osteoporosis? Should we wait till we're perimenopausal or premenopausal or andropausal when males' hormones are down? Or can we start early? See, with an understanding that the bone loss begins at around 35 to 40 years old, 1% a year, what happens is we want very strong bones going into our 30s. We want powerful, strong bones. And how do we get that? We get it through a multitude of things. One, the nutrients we take in. Number two, adequate and balanced thyroid and hormones. So that kind of excludes birth control pills, because birth control pills are very powerful in the fact that they block natural progesterone cycles. They block hormone cycles, and they block natural progesterone cycles. And just as Carol was explaining, progesterone is very specific in terms of its ability to support bone health and build healthy bone. So if you're 16 to 30, blocking that cycle of estrogen, progesterone, bone building, bone strength, bone cleansing, you're going in now into a period where there is a known bone loss and your bones are already weak. They weren't allowed to develop appropriately. You didn't have the mineral intake. You didn't have the hormone balance. And many of us didn't have the exercise, which we haven't even begun to speak about yet, the exercise necessary to build strong bones. So let's just talk for a second about exercise and then go back to the minerals, the nutrients, and the hormones. Exercise is essential. It's stress. Exercise is stress. And for every stress, we build up a strength or we crush. What do you think lifting weights is?
Yep, stress.
Lifting weights is pulling on the muscle and making the muscle produce more than it really would just if you're sitting watching television. And the end result is the muscle is stressed and it gets stronger. It builds more capacity. Well, when we are talking about bone, it's the same thing. What are we doing when we exercise? We're putting stress on our bones. And the end result is the bone sequesters and pulls into it more nutrients to build a stronger bone. So exercise is an essential piece of building bone. I have some of my older patients. Now, they have these plates, and you've got one, Carol. They've got these plates, these vibration plates that you stand on. And you could stand there with your full cup of coffee, and it doesn't spill. Because it's not really shaking, it's vibrating. And that vibration stimulates the muscles to slightly pull on the bone and create bone growth. When the astronauts went up, they were 6 months at the space station and came down, and they had lost 16% of their bone mass. Males and females. So what they did, they said, well, we can't have that. They come down, they walk down the street, they're going to break their bones. So
they pick them up in a wheelchair because they're so frail.
Exactly. So what did they do? This is when this vibratory machine was created, and they had the astronauts stand on this vibration machine, but also they had the astronauts do very specific exercises with weights on to help them. Well, with my patients, the vibration machine is wonderful. If you could afford it, it's not big, and you put it on the floor, and you can stand on it every day. It's absolutely wonderful. I like the one with the little handle so you don't slip or feel like you're falling over. But another thing that you can do that does the same thing is a trampoline. And those are in a $200 range. It can fold up and go right underneath your bed. It can have a handle, and you can do it in multiple ways. You could dance on it. You could walk on it. You could march on it. Or you know what else? You could just stand on it. And what happens? Again, it's similar to the vibration machine. And you've just saved, when the vibration machine came out, it was $12,000. And now their price has come down, I think, three, four, something like that. Well, you've saved all that money, but you're getting the same benefit when you stand on a trampoline. But you're also draining lymph. So you're increasing circulation. You're putting stress on muscles. You're also creating a better sense of proprioception or balance, which is very important as people age. So getting the one with the little handle so you can stand there holding onto the handle. You could stand there watching a TV show. You can sit on it. Mm-hmm. And there will be benefits. It's really a wonderful thing. So, Carol, where do we want to go from here?
Yes. The important thing is not to leave that trampoline under your bed.
No. It doesn't work when it's under your bed. You know what? I'm just looking at the time. This is Take Charge of Your Health. Carol and I are on a roll. We're talking about osteoporosis, a definitely unnecessary epidemic in males and females, and how to avoid it, prevent it, and guess what? Even reverse it. We're going to be right back. This is Take Charge of Your Health, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. We're really geared up because we're so excited. This is Carol and I, Corinne Fernari, and we're talking about osteoporosis. And I don't think anything gets me more excited, Carol, than prevention and reversal of a very serious chronic disease.
Well, I'd like to bring up right here, before we forget, I placed this on our Facebook page, which is Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne and Carol, on a link to a book called The Myth of Osteoporosis, and the author is Gillian Sampson. I came across her book years ago, and I was just dazzled. I think she's an Australian, and she was moved to write this book because her 19-year-old daughter had a bone scan and was told she was osteoporotic.
19?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Would need to go on a bisphosphonate to save her bones. And, in fact, she couldn't have children because this drug would interfere with her ability to have children. So this mom, and moms are always the ones, aren't they, doing all the research. Not in my family. So what she discovered is that we use standards for this test, this testing, when you go and have this test. And people have different bone densities. And the standards that they've used, I believe, is young white female. But that's not the standard for everybody. And there can be individuals, even if you're young and white, and that was her daughter, they checked further, and every single family member had low bone density. That was, and they were active, and they were into sports, and they were healthy, so it didn't make any sense. Also, if you happen to be Asian, you have a smaller skeleton, lower bone density. So if you go in and take a test that the standard has been used for a young white female, then you're already considered osteoporotic when there might be nothing wrong with you. We have the same problem because we don't have a history of ourselves. We didn't go like that 19-year-old went and had a bone scan. We don't know what our bones were when we were younger. We don't know what it was at our prime years. As Corinne mentioned, in our 30s, we should be at our prime, and we start to lose after that. We don't know where we were at our best. So ideally, we should be comparing ourselves as we age with our younger selves to really get the right numbers when we talk about bone loss. How much bone have you lost since your youth?
That is accurate to a degree, Carol. And the degree that it's accurate, yes, how much bone have you lost since your youth? But what we're seeing is many young women who do not have normal or adequate or strong bones because of the way they've been eating, because of the mineral loss, because they're young, they're 25, they're 19, they've been on birth control pills since they were 16. So you've got two sides to look at here. Yes, we do know there's a difference in Asian bone and Caucasian and Black. We understand that. Yes. Mm-hmm. But comparing ourselves to ourselves sometimes might not, especially if we're not that healthy, might not be the best way to go.
There's a subset of people who turn to vegetarianism because they actually can't digest meat very well. And that should be a red flag when that happens, because it's also meaning you have a digestion problem in the first place. You need strong stomach acid to digest meat, but you also need that very, very strong stomach acid to break down anything you eat and retrieve the minerals from there. The strong acid that should be in your stomach is the key to absorbing minerals from the food you eat or the supplements you use. So if you're missing that, here's again a clue. If you don't like meat because you can't digest it, I would look into what's going on with your digestive tract. Can you make enough stomach acid? And here's where the mineral zinc is absolutely essential. Jonathan Wright, a pretty well-known nutrient-oriented physician, wrote a whole book about why you need stomach acid and how to make it. And the central thing to making stomach acid is the presence of the mineral zinc. And that's what the whole book is about. So consider this. You don't have enough zinc to make stomach acid, and then you don't have enough stomach acid to absorb more zinc. So you're in a poor conundrum there.
And you're in a loop. But yes. Then there's another piece. Consider this. What if you're on a proton pump inhibitor that blocks all stomach acid? What is stomach acid used for? It solubilizes. It makes minerals able to be absorbed. It also breaks the bond in proteins. So proteins are then being able to be absorbed. We know that all these acid blockers that we're taking over the counter now are interfering with our bone health and our ability to make bone. So if people have been years on acid blockers, we could just about predict with quite a bit of accuracy weakened bones.
There's another little thing to be aware of that doesn't come up very often. There are many people who are prescribed the mineral lithium because of bipolar disease, and they take very, very large amounts of lithium. That imbalance creates a bone problem. So years of high lithium can be a cause for osteoporosis, and it's little acknowledged. It's pretty shocking. Lithium is an excellent mineral, by the way, for mood, and it helps your brain work. So small amounts of lithium are actually quite essential. The drink 7-Up, it's called 7-Up because the atomic number for lithium is close to 7, very close to 7, and it had lithium in it, and that was supposed to be a mood enhancer. And in fact, some of the many famous mineral spas, water spas that are around the world are that way because they have high lithium in the waters that people come to drink.
Wow. Now I learned. I just wrote that down. I learned something. I want to talk a little bit about vitamin K, why it's so important. We started out with it, but now I want to add to it. There are multiple forms of vitamin K. One is K1, and that you get from all these greens, these beautiful green luscious foods. When we're looking at asparagus, when we're looking at broccoli, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, kale also, and spinach. But the K2, that is almost like an adaptogen. It acts to balance blood clotting. It doesn't enhance it, and it doesn't reduce it. It attempts to normalize clotting. But then there is a K2, and K2 we get from meats, from organ meats. We get from fish. We get from eggs, particularly the yellows. And we get from fermented foods, and particularly fermented cheeses. So a lot of these cheeses, like the blue cheese that's from Europe, or so whenever you have a fermented cheese like that, you're getting adequate amounts of vitamin K. Also in the fermented foods like fermented cabbage, the kimchi, and real fermented pickles. So this K is the one that acts very powerfully on the bones, and acting, if you really look at the profile, in terms of the bone, it looks very similar to the way progesterone acts on the bone. It balances the cells that the osteoclasts that break down the bone, and stimulates the osteoblasts that build the bone. So it creates a beautiful little balance between the bone cells that allows the buildup of your bone and maintenance of healthy bone.
You bring up a question in my mind. I've been in the grocery store trying to buy really good butters because I know, especially making sure that it's grass-fed animals, will have more K2 in the butter than those that are not grass-fed. But the interesting thing I'm thinking of right now is there's butters you can buy that have been cultured. And I always wondered what that meant. And I wonder if there's some fermentation process going on here which would improve K2. If you don't know, we're going to have to look this up.
I think we're going to have to look it up. I can't make a promise. But when I think of cultured, I think of enzymes more than fermentation. It's not like brie cheese, which is fermented and continues to ferment. So I think of more like mozzarella, or ricotta that are processed with enzymes rather than. But, you know, logically, butter from grass-fed, it should have K, but I can't make a promise on that one.
That's what I read, that it was a big distinction, that it's really rich in the grass-fed butter. So that's what I always try to buy when I can. So maybe we should call on our listeners. If they know what a cultured butter means, maybe they could leave us a message on our Facebook page so we could have some contribution here from our listeners. I would really like to know.
I love interactions like that. It always helps focus me. It helps me to learn, challenges me to learn.
Yeah.
But I love interaction like that. So please do. What is, could you give out our Facebook page, Carol?
Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne and Carol.
I think that's easy. I think we can figure that one out. So where should we go next, Carol?
Let's talk about protein a little bit more.
Oh, yes.
One of the products I know you use in your practice, and I've been using some and recommending some, and we had a wonderful presentation, one of our old broadcasts by Dr. David Minkoff, and he helped design and created this product called Perfect Aminos. And the amino acids are the breakdown products of protein into their smallest pieces. And you brought this up a little bit by remarking that stomach acid is needed to do this, to break down the protein into its smallest parts, which can then be easily absorbed, and your body can use that to remodel with. Unfortunately, with not enough stomach acid, this is not happening. Protein strands are too big to be absorbed, so it just goes right through your digestive tract, not doing a thing for you if it isn't broken down properly. So this is one of the supplements that has been developed to help people get in their protein needs when they have very poor absorption. And I think it's a very good thing to go to when people are really suffering because their gut is simply not working for them. You need to, as I spoke about this loop with zinc, the same thing with protein. So you need to break that cycle. And this is a product that can do it and start supplying your protein needs to help your digestive tract heal and go further. Do you want to say something more about Perfect Aminos and how you've seen it work in your office?
Definitely. I'll start out, though, with the need for protein. So many people walk in my door, and they're on detox, they're on this, they're on that, and the first thing that they eliminate is protein. They eliminate protein, and they don't understand that the process of detox takes protein. All enzymes, what are they? They're protein. So we need protein. When people aren't digesting well, they pull off of proteins. And people who react to wheat, definitely celiac, do not digest protein well. And when we see celiac patients, they're also there. They're lighter, they're smaller, they're lighter boned than the rest of the people in their family, than their siblings, because their bones didn't form really strong and dense because of the fact that they were not digesting. Not only were they not digesting minerals, but they weren't digesting protein. So with that said, I'm going to say that the base of bone, the base of all bone is protein. So if you're not digesting, I love this Perfect Aminos because it doesn't take digestion. So it's absorbed, it's broken down, absorbed into its perfect balance, so you're getting all of it. You can't eat too much protein. It's too acidic. It's too acidic because it's not absorbed in its entirety, because it has to be absorbed in a balance. Well, Perfect Amino is, this is going to sound like an oxymoron, but it's an alkaline amino acid, because it's completely absorbed. It's in your bloodstream in 23 minutes. And what starts to happen, she says with her fingers crossed, but what I have also seen is that it bypasses the block that's stopping the breakdown of the proteins. It gets the proteins into the body. And once the proteins are in the body in a perfect balance, the body starts to heal itself. So you've gone around. It's similar to what I do with IVs. I bypass the block and start getting people healthier so they can heal what is blocking their ability to heal themselves. Some people can't get better no matter what they take in. And what you do is you bypass that. And so I always attempt to bypass that with perfect aminos. And I also bypass it with hydrochloric acid and digestive enzymes and making sure the bowels are working correctly.
I'd like to bring up another thing that's of concern, and I think not everybody is aware of it. Making osteoporosis really a concern for people of our generation. Of course, that's why we're talking about this in the first place, because people of our generation are suffering. We have been exposed to lead in great amounts. There were lead-based paints in our houses when we were growing up. There was lead in the gasoline to make the gasoline work better. So that's been since removed. But lead actually sequesters in the bone. And we know from these earlier times that having lead in your body is a problem with functioning, with mental functioning, etc. So our body tries to tuck it away in our bones, but now we've come to a part in our life that our bones are starting to break down. And so what's happening in our generation is as our bones are breaking down at these alarming rates, like you brought up before, we're releasing that lead back into our circulation where it can cause more havoc. It was interesting. There was a researcher at the University of Toronto named Howard Hugh. He gave a lecture at one of the ICIM conferences, and he's been studying kneecaps. There's an appalling amount of people having joint replacements, and he's been collecting the kneecaps from these surgeries and measuring alarming amounts of lead in the kneecaps. So it's there, it's a concern, something to think about. So it should be another motivation to keep your bones in as good a shape and reverse some of this breakdown, because the bones are actually protecting you from lead toxicity.
By absorbing the lead, but in absorbing the lead, it displaces the calcium.
Right.
So the lead and the calcium, that's why young children, when they're exposed to lead, it's so dangerous, because they absorb more than we do. Why? Because their bones are growing so fast.
Right.
So it's very dangerous to have young people around lead. But speaking of that, I want to talk about another mineral that we never think of. But adding this to our protocol can really enhance the protocol, and it's called strontium. And what is it? It's a mineral that's released in ash. So, and we found there's a long history behind strontium. You know, the gladiators used to fight, and they had all their own doctors. They'd break bones and injure themselves. And what the doctors would do is they would rub the injuries with an ash paste and have them drink drinks of ash. And what they were doing was increasing the strontium in the body, which sped up bone healing. So when they find the skeletons of the gladiators, they can see where bone broke, but they can also see how it repaired and the speed of the repairing. And that was very directly related to the strontium. So adding strontium to your protocol is quite lovely. And I do that, but I don't give it with the same time as I give calcium. And the reason being is that strontium and calcium, they kind of go to the same receptors. So I give calcium in the morning or evening, and then I give strontium either in the middle of the day or the opposite time of day. So what you end up with is very strong bones, and you start reversing that bone loss. And just what we're coming full circle, and the full circle is the fact that osteoporosis, it can be a leading cause of death in older people, that they break a bone, and within a year or two, they've now gone into a home to be taken care of. They cannot take care of themselves any longer. And then within 2 years, there's a very high incidence of death. And this can be an unnecessary consequence if people are kept and keep themselves healthy with balanced trace minerals, making sure they're getting balanced trace minerals, making sure they're getting adequate B vitamins, looking at their minerals, looking at their hormones. You know, just over-the-counter progesterone can be so powerful for helping our bones. But then there's even more to it than that. There's vitamin K. There's vitamin D. There's strontium. For minerals, I love giving really good seaweeds. There's a seaweed from Australia that's very high in calcium and multi-minerals. I'd use a seaweed from Iceland, from fjords that are clean and no rivers going to them, so you don't have increased heavy metals draining off the soil into the water where the seaweed is growing. It's really quite pure and pristine. And that gives you a very balanced and absorbable form of minerals. But there's three other things. Oh my goodness. And we're coming to the end.
Yeah.
Hormones. We didn't talk about DHEA and how important it is for bone growth. Well,
that's very huge.
When I first learned about osteoporosis, the first thing I learned was DHEA. But now they're also talking about sex hormone binding globulin. That sex hormone binding globulin has receptor sites on the bone, and that it's very important for keeping bone healthy. And then we're talking about testosterone. See, I stole your thunder, Carol.
Yeah, you really did.
And testosterone strengthens and keeps your bones strong and reduces bone loss. So literally having balanced hormones are so powerful in terms of protecting our bones. Carol?
Well, we're focusing in on bones, but nothing that we spoke about. I'm going into like a triple negative. I'm confusing myself. So everything we spoke about has to do with having a whole, healthy body and what we need to make it so. And we have so many tools. We have, you know, the excitement of having access to the internet is we have access to information like we never had before. We have access to people doing the research. You can even look up people researching stuff real time, you know, how they set up the tests. There's so much information. But we can build for ourselves a protocol, and I think that's one of our functions here, Corinne. We're trying to translate some of the many things we learn to make it usable for our listeners to incorporate into their lives and make their lives better and more vibrant and exciting. That's the whole point of it. So all of what we talked about really pertains to the body as the whole is is the point I want to make.
And that's the exciting part. The exciting part is when we're empowered. I know that when I feel that I'm not empowered, I'm bored, I feel weak, I'm tired. When I'm empowered, it's energizing, it's focusing. My mind says, well, let me learn more about this, let me do more. And the same thing with health. Health isn't something that, oh, health today, and then we'll forget about it. We don't have to deal with that. It's a daily routine in our lives that allows us to be healthier, to live a higher quality of life, and to teach that to our children and share it with our families and with our parents. You know, I'm going to say something. You know, last year, my mom's 98, so 97, she fell. And, you know, a 97-year-old fell. She should be in a hospital. She didn't break anything. She got a sore hip. Didn't break anything. I was so proud of her. But I'll tell you something. She's been on balanced hormones since her 60s. And
right.
So that's not an accident. And your mother, very similar.
Yep,
balanced hormones. Exactly. Exactly. When she runs out, she calls me. She says, oh, no, I need my hormones. I say, do you notice a difference? And she says, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a full protocol and program. She also cooks for herself. She's always making cabbage and asparagus and Brussels sprout soups and different foods that are so delicious. So she cooks for herself, and she's on balanced hormones. And there's more. But maybe, you know what? We should have a show with your mom and my mom.
Oh, that would be really exciting. I've got my mom going to Toastmasters meeting, so she can get prepped.
Yay. Yay. So maybe that's what we'll do, because they're really good examples. You know, when I want to remember something, I call my mom.
Uh-huh.
98 years old. She said, oh, at that time, you were wearing this dress and you bought it there. And gosh, Mom, you remember everything. And and that's the way it should be.
Yes, everybody should have that instead of languishing in some care place and not getting good nutrition and not getting stimulated with wonderful things to learn and have exciting relationships with other people. We need that as human beings. We need that so desperately.
So I want to thank you, Carol. This has really been fun. I love empowering, sharing empowerment with the audience.
I do too.
And I always learn. Now I learned about lithium and 7-Up.
Isn't that cool? All these interesting little tidbits you pick up along the way.
Okay. Speak to
bye.
You next week. Bye. Thank you for being here with us. So we'll be back next week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health. You can hear this program in its entirety on my Facebook, Corinne Fornari, RPA, CCN, or on Take Charge of Your Health Facebook page, Take Charge of Your Health. My website is frenarihealth.com, and my office number is 212-219-0700. That's 212-219-0700. And I know many of you noticed that beautiful music, a big change. My brother's group wrote it for me. Left Hook from Redding, California. Really special. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.